We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes. No.
No?
Sir? It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not right now.
No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
Just look at that. He hit the fucking ball. He gets a free steak. You having fun yet?
Oh, yeah. I'm having a blast. Thanks.
Good.
All right, welcome back to Big Screen Sports, the sports movie podcast brought to you by Blue Wire Podcast. I am your host, Kyle Bandujo. Today, we are talking about a hockey comedy that was selected by our wonderful Big Screen Sports Patreon group, who we thank for supporting the show, especially our producer-level patrons as Aaron Figueroa, Mike Schubert, Steve Rogers, Kevin Frost, Mike D, Ryan Yeager, Mike Dries, James Kowalewski, and Chris Mykoski. They have all gone to patreon.com/bigscreensports to support the show. And if you do that, you get to vote on episode content like this one. You get to pick movies. I am basically letting the inmates run the asylum at this point. They're getting to pick the entire December slate, like this first episode. Also, a big shout out to everyone who has subscribed, rated, reviewed, everyone who has joined us on this show as we've talked sports movies, pretty much every other genre of movie at this point, Ted Lasso, you name it. We're the sports movie podcast that is making talking about pretty much anything a sport. Now for today's episode, joining me, returning to the show, the hardest working man in podcasting, it is my buddy Mike Schubert. Mike, welcome back to Big Screen Sports.
Thank you for having me. I always forget that you refer to me as that. It makes me feel like I need to get like a starter jacket that has that stitched into the back of it.
I think you should. Sometimes I'll feel like overwhelmed, like, oh, I've got all this stuff to record. I've got this stuff to write. And then I'm like, at least I'm not Mike. So
I'm blessed that my full-time job is making podcasts, but I do make a lot.
You do. And tell the folks, what's up with the newest Olympian? What's up with horse? Update everyone.
So if you're a sports ed and you want to hear me talk about sports stuff, you should listen to a sports podcast that I co-host called Horse. Me and my buddy Adam Mamawala, he is a stand-up comedian. We talk about basketball every other week, but we only talk about the non-sport aspects of it. So we just talk about the entertainment surrounding the sport. We talk about player drama. We talk about Twitter beefs. In the episode that is coming out, we just recorded earlier today, we talked about how that fan at the Kings game threw up courtside and there were ramifications, and then the coach
Legendary.
Got fired the next day.
We talk about stuff.
All sorts of goofy stuff. We have discussed on this most recent episode, we talked about the best and worst Kardashian and basketball player relationships. And I also talked about the time Colin Sexton almost led Alabama to a victory, even though they were playing 3-on-5 for 11 minutes and 47 seconds. So if you like sports or you want to get into sports, you want to listen to some nerdy sports stuff, we are a basketball podcast that everyone can enjoy, whether you're a super fan and you're tired of hearing podcasts talk about analytics, or if you're new to the sport and you want to understand what does defensive three in the key mean, Horse is there for you. So just search Horse wherever you get your podcasts or go to horsehoops.com.
Everyone go check that out. And the newest Olympian for all Percy Jackson fans.
If you like Percy Jackson stuff, you can check out the newest Olympian. If you want to hear me make fun of NPR shows, you can listen to Modern Muckraker. If you want to just see whatever I'm doing, you can go to schub.es. That's my website. And that's got all the stuff that I do. But yeah, I figured I should talk about the sports show on the sports podcast. I haven't done that in my 38 guest appearances on Big Screen Sports. So there we go.
Mike, I don't know how many times this is, but you're certainly in the upper echelon of guests that we've had. I think you're either leading the pack or you're right up there tied. Besides
an honor. You know, it's a privilege. Yeah. I love the show. I'm always happy to be on the show, and I'm happy to hear that producer list grow and grow. That's awesome.
That's the plan. And this movie that we're talking about today, we've done some interesting ones. We've done Pitch Perfect. Mm-hmm. We've done School of Rock. We've done Love and Basketball very recently, like a more traditional sports movie. This one, I'm super excited about. This one had a lot of hype for me because since I've started this show, all the hockey folks have said you need to do Mystery Alaska. And when I put up a poll on the Patreon group, I said we're going to do a November hockey movie. I get that it's December, schedules change. I said we're going to do a November hockey movie because it's been a while since we've done a hockey movie. We've really only done Mighty Ducks, Miracle, and Goon, which is a perfect movie. Everyone go see Goon. I threw up this poll, and Mystery Alaska was on the poll. It won in a landslide. Mystery Alaska is the 1999 hockey comedy. Residents of a small town get overexcited when their hockey team gets chosen to host a televised game against the New York Rangers. This is a hockey comedy, just an obscure hockey comedy that stars Russell Crowe, Burt Reynolds, Hank Azaria. It's directed by Jay Roach, coming off Austin Powers. It only got 38%
on Rotten Tomatoes. Myers is in the movie.
That's why Mike Myers is in the movie. Yes. This one, all the hockey folks have said, you gotta do Mystery Alaska. All the hockey people love this movie. Mike, I believe I was a first-time watcher. I believe you were a first-time watcher, so this is gonna be an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Just off the bat, what were your expectations going into it, and then Hall of Fame All-Star starter bench warmer for you?
So I am a semi first-time watcher because my dad and I have the same approach with this movie. I'm home for Thanksgiving. I told him I was doing this. I was like, oh, I got to watch this movie tonight. And he said, oh, yeah, that's, you know, we've had that on the background on TV. That's the one about the guys that play the Rangers, right? And that's where it started and ended. So both of us, I think we've seen it on TV, maybe when I was very, very young. And all I remembered was the hockey parts of it. I don't know if TV cut out all the other parts because it's incredibly raunchy or just because it's horrible. But anytime they are not playing hockey in this movie, it is awful. It is so unenjoyable. It is painfully unenjoyable. I fell asleep twice and I had to rewind. Like, anytime they're not playing hockey, this movie is trash. Now,
so this is going to be one of the most interesting episodes of Big Screen Sports, because for me, this is a fucking ulcer. This movie ruled.
Oh, I thought this movie sucked. Ruled. I was wondering if there was a rating worse than Benchwarmer. I was wondering if there was, like, waived during preseason, because I would never turn this movie on again, ever, unless there was someone where it was like, oh, it's just the hockey scenes, because the hockey itself is awesome. It feels like all the people that they got to play hockey are legit. Even Russell Crowe looks like he knows what he's doing on the skates. Even Mary McCormick looks like she knows what she's doing on the skates. But all the other side plots were uninteresting. This movie is rampant with fat phobia, homophobia, misogyny. It's all in there, the big trifecta. And it's not funny. And none of the romantic lines make sense. None of the side plots make sense. I don't know why premature ejaculation. I don't know why premature ejaculation is a major portion of this film, as is adultery. Those
Indeed
are like major themes in the movie. None of the characters I find particularly enjoyable or compelling character arcs, but the hockey's freaking awesome. All the hockey's great. Everything else, horrible.
So the interesting thing is, you're not wrong about anything you said. This one has a lot of warts, has a lot of problems, need to be cleaned up a little bit. That being said, I had a lot of fun watching this. I loved watching the hockey. I love, and I kind of love what this movie is and stands for, in a sense, and not stands for in terms of, you know, some of the stuff. Again, if this got remade in 2021, we'd see wholesale changes. It also fumbled any plot point having to do with a woman. That's a problem.
Right.
But this is a movie that you get, like, it might think it's a bit too more serious than it is at certain times, and then it stinks. It's a lot funnier. It's not sure what it really is. But it's a movie that gives us Russell Crowe, gives us not many sports movies that are just like kind of like throwaway comedies have great actors of our time. Mm-hmm. Russell Crowe does this, and then he does The Insider, Gladiator, and A Beautiful Mind back to back, all of which he is nominated for Best Actor for at the Oscars and with a win. So he's at like he's at the height of his power. And there are moments in this one where it's like, he's kind of in a different movie. Like, he's like, yes. This is, you know, he's at a different level. Burt Reynolds, an icon, an incredible Silver Fox. He's looking so sharp in this one.
Burt Reynolds looks majestic. Yeah, he looks great.
And you know why Burt Reynolds did this one? Because if you look at his IMDb, Burt Reynolds was not saying no to anything in that time period. His IMDb is a disaster. But it also has Boogie Nights, and it has this. This one, like, we don't have top tier, at the top of their game actors and casts like this doing a sports movie comedy anymore. They'll take a Moneyball, they'll take something that's written by Aaron Sorkin or directed by Adam McKay or something like that. But the guy who did Austin Powers doing a hockey comedy, and this cast, Hank Azaria, everyone in this cast, like almost everyone, is in another thing that I really like them in, or is in something else that's great. Like, you see, wow, it's that guy. It's not like loaded top down. This isn't the Moneyball cast, or this isn't, you know, something like that. But this is, you've got an all-timer in Russell Crowe, and then you have a ton of great character actors, like a ton of them all doing different things. I like, it's got funny moments. I love the plot. It's like an easily repeatable plot. I love the, you know, one, more movies set in Alaska. Now, this wasn't actually filmed in Alaska. It was filmed in Canada, but more movies set in Alaska, like this, Insomnia, like great stuff. Let's get more snow, more mountains, more ice. Need it all. Love that stuff. I'm just here for this movie. Like, it's fun. It's objectively bad, but I still love The Replacements.
I love The Replacements, and I'm sure I haven't seen that in a minute. I'm sure that also has some like not aged well stuff in it, but I think the concept of it is very strong. I think it's like when the beginning was happening, I liked it in the beginning, and then when they got to the part where they're like, let's flesh out the folks in the town, that's when I was like, this is bad, because all these characters are horrible people, and I don't understand like some of the motivations and stuff. But yeah, I think the concept is really cool. I think the plot is compelling. I even think the acting is good. I just think the writing is probably where it's just really bad. There are some scenes of like really bad acting, and you can see when good actors are in the scenes with the random people. Like when Burt Reynolds is at dinner with his family, he is doing great, and everyone else is terrible. They are all not doing anything, and Burt Reynolds is like trying to hold his own while he puts on a Mount Everest worth of potatoes onto his plate.
Yeah, but Scott Grimes, who plays Burt Reynolds' son, is not good in this movie, but he is awesome in Band of Brothers like the next year.
Interesting.
So he's incredible in that series. So it's something that this one, I think, should have stuck to sports, should have kept it a little more simple. Mm-hmm. We didn't really need a lot of this stuff fleshed out. It's like Major League. No. Like, you have the, you have Jake Taylor and Rene Russo's character, Lynn. You have that kind of subplot going on, but other than that, let's keep it about the team. And a lot of this, again, is about the town. We need to see the town caring about it. But I don't need Weeks and his girlfriend. I don't, you know, maybe if you want to, let's do the town. Maybe we have a crack about the guy is sleeping with the mayor's wife, and maybe that comes back to harm both of them. But and we can have John and his wife. We can have John and Donna, and that's a thing. And you know, he's struggling with his own, you know, the problem of getting older. Same, really. It's Rene Russo and Tom Berenger's characters in Major League. We could do that. But you know, when it comes to the sports, like they should have rolled with that. But there's still let's roll into the trivia, and then we're gonna get into the best scenes of this one. But I'm excited about this. I'm kind of glad that we're vibing on different paths.
I think this is the first time I haven't liked a movie that I've talked about on this podcast. And yeah, like just like you said, I think this movie, I would love to see like the minutes they're playing hockey versus the minutes they're not. It felt kind of like 50-50. This movie should have been 75% hockey.
I think so too.
I think you said, yeah, you nailed it. You get rid of Weeks and his girlfriend, and you get rid of all the court stuff, and then you just focus on, like, give me more of the, honestly, like, Hank Azaria is great, Mary McCormick is great, Russell Crowe is great. Give me more of that weird love triangle thing, and then actually make Mary McCormick being angry and Russell Crowe being sad make more sense. Because one of the things she's like, you've been a different person since you got cut from the team. It's like, he got cut from the team 5 minutes ago.
That's, yeah, I got,
he's not wildly
I think
different.
In this one, I think the stuff that works really works. I think the stuff that doesn't work really doesn't work.
Exactly. There's too much of the stuff that work. There's too much of the stuff that doesn't work. There's not enough of the stuff that does work. And it feels like, I don't know if it was filming, writing, whatever, but the proportions were all off.
Yeah. But I had a lot of fun. I swallowed some pills and I just said, let's go. Let's do this. So IMDb trivia. This movie is loosely based on the 1905 Stanley Cup game between the Dawson City Nuggets and the Ottawa Senators. I know nothing about that. I would like to look into that. That seems like it
loosely is heavy, carrying loosely, a lot of load there.
Got to be loosely. This movie was originally filmed in Rossland, British Columbia, the future location of Miracle, which is a perfect movie, and was to be known as Face Off, which that would have been ripping off our guy's
no,
Nick
no
Cage.
No slash, and, though, so it's different. No, it would have had slash. A hyphen instead of a slash.
You put Travolta and Nick Cage in this movie, and we're dancing.
Let's go.
Eventually, they decided to use Canmore, Alberta, and use the name Mystery Alaska. I love the name. That's something that works. I didn't write that down.
It is a great title. Name. It's really good.
Great, great title. Mike Myers' character, Donnie Schultzhofer, seems to have the same mannerisms and saying as Canadian hockey commentator, hero, and all-around legend Don Cherry. Mike, are you familiar with Don Cherry?
I'm not familiar with Don Cherry, but I am familiar with the ESPN guy, Melrose.
Melrose?
Yeah, they
Melrose,
got him.
We get a Melrose cameo. I had a teammate from Vancouver when I was in college, and he introduced us all to Don Cherry and what Don Cherry is all about. And anyone who has seen Don Cherry really appreciates that Myers' performance.
Is Don Cherry from Flim Flom? Because I believe they said that Mike Myers' character is from a place called Flim Flom.
That I don't know off the top of my head.
The service that I used to watch this, I could not turn on the subtitles. You would turn them on and nothing would happen. So I was trying to hear what they said, but I thought they said that whoever Mike Myers was, they said from Flim Flom. And I was like, this speaks volumes to the writing.
Gonna need a listener to correct us on that one to see if that's the case. The last thing, this game is scheduled for January 16th, which is, quote, 32 days away early in the movie. That would be mid-December, which in Alaska would be dark for all but 3 to 5 hours of the day. But most of the movie is shown as taking place during daylight hours, including the scene in the school and the sheriff going to work. So kind of a problem. This movie, the thing is with the plot, it has to take place then. So, you know, I'm not going to kill it for that. I mean, you know, we've had our Alaska movies where the permanent daytime is a problem, like Insomnia. Mm-hmm. We've had the permanent dark is a problem, like in 30 Days of Night, a movie that is truly scary. I think about it once a month and it gives me a chill. But I'm not going to kill it. Not going to kill this one for that. I want to get into the best scene, unless you had something on that.
Very quickly, I think the thing that is more disturbing about the time in which it happened is not the time of year, whatever. It's a movie we can suspend disbelief. But the fact that it is supposed to be only 30 days away, no way. If this was happening in the NHL, they planned it, like the Field of Dreams games were planned years in advance. Like it was 2 years before the original one that got canceled for COVID, where they said the Yankees are doing this. There's no way you can scramble this together in 30 minutes. And we'll talk about this for what doesn't work. But the whole way they represent the players union, Bobby Wagner would be calling in and would be burning the movie to the ground.
I was going to say our guy's tipping pitches. So this takes place in an interesting time because the Replacements comes out the same year, that maybe the year after, something like that. And the Replacements is also very anti-player, and it's coming off the 1994 MLB strike, where the notion was there was a lot. It was like everyone's greedy. These babied millionaires, players are at home doing this thing. And now, you know, considering we are staring at a potential strike, potential lockout in MLB, that's kind of shifted into an eat the rich mentality when it comes to the owners. So this would be way different in 2021. We've got, when we get to Before More Restore at the end of this, I've got some ideas. Best scene, the locker room scene in the game. We get the team camaraderie. You get Crow right away. Crow looks like a leader, both just in general as character, and then it's like, oh, this is the best actor in this group. This guy is doing it. And it gives us this kind of look into what this town is about. This Sunday game, we see them all coming together, and the SI article comes in the middle of the game to tell us what the situation is. Gives us that exposition. This is a town Saturday game. That's a huge, huge deal. I love this as kind of, it's really our exposition into what this team is about.
It is a great exposition dump. As far as exposition dumps go, I think this is probably the most creative use of it that I've seen, where you still know what's going on, but they do it in a way that not only fits the narrative, but also introduces a character we meet later, which I thought was interesting. I think the easy way out is you could have done this as like a news broadcast or whatever, but I thought it was cool with having the article and, oh, hey, the article came out, let's read it. I thought that was actually really interesting. No matter what other scene you say, I think this is the best scene in the movie, and it's sad that it's the first thing, but it is the most hockey. I was wondering, is all of this hockey stuff, is it dated? Like, did everybody have to do this in the 90s, or is this supposed to show that it's a small town, or is it both? I don't know much about hockey. I went to a bunch of minor league hockey when I lived in New Jersey. Shout out to the Trenton Titans and some games in Houston before they got rid of the Houston Arrows. Minor league hockey is incredible and I love it. And I think hockey live is a top tier sport. I struggle with it on TV because I think the atmosphere is just like essential to it. So I never played hockey growing up, so I don't know all the ins and outs. So that initial scene, I was wondering, is this 1999 or rural Alaska or rural Alaska 1999? That's why they have potatoes wrapped in tinfoil in their skates? Or was it rocks? I was confused.
I will agree that going to a hockey game is sick. Like, RIP to the San Antonio Rampage. They moved them to Vegas, I believe. Mm. Just the atmosphere is hockey. But I love how the SI article, because we're not sure. Is this just beer league? What's the deal? And the SI article gives us, while we're skating, like how important this is to the town and how good these guys really are. Because we need that too, because we need to believe that they could compete against the New York Rangers, which is a whole other bag to unpack. But we need some sort of insight from the outside world, even though it was written by a local or someone who grew up there, that there is real talent here. And this is not just a beer league hockey game. This is something that's serious. And we see, you know, it's an honor to be, everyone wants to be in this game, and it's an honor to be chosen. It's the best. So I think that scene is really important. It's the cast has chemistry, which is important. The team in this one has really good chemistry, which is important. The next one I've got, the town meeting after Charlie has showed up, our guy Hank Azaria showed up saying the Rangers want to come play. The NHL wants the Rangers to come play. It sets a realistic expectation, which I think is important for the plot, because if we were just told we're going to beat the Rangers, our guys are good enough to beat the Rangers, but it sets the expectation when Crow stands up and he's like, you know, we can't beat them. You know, these are pro players. They're bigger. They're faster. You know, their stick skills are incredible. But on our pond, open ice, it's all about skating. It's a different kind of hockey. This is how we can win. That's really important, I think, because if they had just said, you know what, we've got great players here in Mystery Alaska, we're going to beat this professional team, it's like, I guess, like, for the sake of the movie. But it's important that they give us, you know, that there's a path to victory, and it's not the, you know, the direct head-on-head path, but we've got a chance here.
I think it was good to set the scene. I think the only thing that doesn't make sense with all of this is that it's the Rangers in 1998-1999, which is the Rangers that have Wayne Gretzky on them. And Wayne Gretzky is mentioned in the movie as existing, because in the ESPN thing, they say he's been named Player of the Month. And then he doesn't show up and no one says anything about it, which is like the least believable thing. Because I was wondering, why would they bring the Rangers? Why don't they just bring a closer team? And then I was remembering, oh, Gretzky's on the team. Yeah, he wasn't as good, but he's still on the team and that's a big deal. And then he never shows up. I was very much expecting him to get off the helicopter, because they name drop him in the movie and then he's not there and then they don't talk about it.
It was part of the IMDb trivia that not many from the team wanted to participate in the thing. Again, and Wayne Gretzky does not have time for this.
Why have him in the Sports Center thing where, even if this is like fictional alternate reality Alaska, why would you put Wayne Gretzky into that and then not deliver? He would have been on the Rangers in 1998/1999.
That's a fair point. I mean, again, it should have been the team in Vancouver. I believe exactly. The Canucks were around them, but it's a movie, so they got to do the name. Got to do the New York Rangers. There's a small Big Chill moment in that scene though, in the town meeting, where you get Scott Grimes after Burt Reynolds, you know, captain Captain Buzzkill, Buzz Killington, you know, says the thing about saving our dignity, and he says, "Where's the dignity of not trying?" I'm like, yeah.
It was good. Yeah. I will say that I had listed all my favorite quotes are the worst quotes. And one of mine was, all we have is our dignity and our illusions. And I was like, oh, illusions? Because you live in Mystery, Alaska? Ha! Horrible. What does that mean? What does it mean we have our illusions? What? No one does magic. What are they Listen, talking about?
There's one thing we're not going to do on this podcast, and that's second guess Burt Reynolds. Our Lord and Savior.
His beard Burt is Reynolds. So powerful. His facial hair is impeccable in this
it
movie.
It is absolutely incredible. So the scene, the courtroom scene, the one where they find the star player not guilty, I would argue that this is one that they could have scrapped completely. This whole plot line, let's not have the star player commit aggravated assault and then get off, because this doesn't make us want to root for anyone.
And then
in the
everyone
town.
Go, yay, judicial malpractice is cool.
Yeah, that is a complete misfire, but it's a great Reynolds scene.
Yes.
Because he's the only sane person in the town at that point. He talks about embarrassing the courtroom and saying, you know, we've ignored the judicial process because he's a star hockey player and stuff like that. And that's really important, because that is something that is very common, that athletes, people in power, people frankly, white people have gotten away with, you know, eons and eons of misdeeds because of where trials have been held. And, you know, not to get too deep in that, because this movie really isn't, they're not trying to address that problem, but it's a really, really good Reynolds scene. If this was in a different movie and it was like a reckoning for how we treat star athletes, like that's a really good scene. That's a really good Burt Reynolds performance. It's just like, nah, we got away with it. He's going to play.
Yeah, I hated that entire scene until Burt Reynolds did his thing at the end, and then I went, oh, that was the point of the scene. But then I still thought, I still, like you said, it doesn't make me want to root for the guy who shot a gun. Like, yes, that guy from Price World, also, what a name, Price World.
Yeah, the Price World guy was a mega dick.
Like
if anyone deserves a little ricocheted bullet off a wheelbarrow in the foot, like, he wasn't super likable.
Right, and I just thought it was funny that he raises the astute observation, well, yeah, sure, we were angry, but does that give anyone the right? Because they say, like, did it ricochet off? He's like, yeah, but is it legal to shoot at someone? And I was like, yes, thank you. And then they were like, oh, but you said the town is bad, so now the jury's going to find you, find our defendant not guilty. It's like, well, just because he mean-talked the town, like, I get he's a dick, but being a dick isn't illegal. It's just frowned upon.
Yeah. I mean, and what I thought was coming was, oh, this is a quick fix. This is how John gets back on the team, because this guy actually does get, like, you know, at least 90 days in jail or something
right,
like that.
Right.
And, like, the town has to come for a reckoning of, like, hey, you can't, just because you're a good hockey player doesn't mean you can shoot at people. But
yeah. And then Britt's guy from My Cousin Vinny is a terrible lawyer. And then he goes to the other trial.
Shout out to Britt's guy, though. It was so great to see him. That's what I'm saying about this movie. Like, I'm watching this movie and it's like, oh my God, it's the no self-respecting Southerner cooks his instant grits. Like, what? All in the same movie? Are you kidding me? Like, this is so exciting. Mike, this movie was so fun.
But he was such a bad lawyer, and then they send him to the other trial, and then he was also terrible there. And then when he started to have the heart attack, I was like, is this guy gonna die? Am I supposed to care? And he did, and I was, and I didn't care.
Hey man, he got the Rangers to Alaska, and he was able to recant his testimony to free Vinny's cousin as well. Like, I mean, it's great to see him in a courtroom again, frankly.
It was, I'm glad he was just as competent as a witness as he was as a lawyer, because he was horrible, absolutely horrible. They had no business winning that case against the NHLPA. No business
at all.
But then,
because of his funeral, we get a scene with Russell Crowe and Burt Reynolds having a heart-to-heart in a graveyard, where Burt Reynolds says, I need my captain on the ice. Mike, if I told you, if I just came out of nowhere and I was like, I got a movie that's got Burt Reynolds and Russell Crowe in a graveyard.
All this other stuff. Delete everything else.
In a graveyard at night, and Burt Reynolds telling Russell Crowe, who has a great beard and great flow, that I need my captain on the ice. One's a coach, one's a player. Like, I mean, I'm probably like sight unseen. And someone comes to me with that and says, only gives me that scene. It's a sight unseen. How much would you pay to watch this movie? At least $50.
I mean, yeah, that's promising until when you see Burt Reynolds as the coach, his big coaching prestige is cardio work. Yeah, you guys are going to do wind sprints.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna get into what didn't work in that regard. Mike, you know what else this movie has? This movie has a great damn locker room speech from Russell Crowe, like
good.
A year before he's Maximus. And you can tell it's like when he, like, this is a speech from an Oscar winner. This is Russell Crowe. There are certain actors who can just get to a different level. And frankly, in sport, and a lot of time in sports movies, we don't always have those folks. But like we have Kurt Russell in Miracle. That's, you know, we go back to that speech. But this one, like Russell Crowe, you know, doing the, you know, I'm not tired, rallying the whole team around. That is a legit great sports movie speech.
And then only the first guy. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about we're beaten.
We're not beaten. I'm not beaten. We're in this game. Anybody here tired?
No.
Anybody fucking tired?
No, sonny.
Not tired.
Holt?
I'm just warming up, Sheriff. Connor?
I'm ready, John.
Birdie, you with us?
Yep.
Good. Because the Rangers are starting to breathe through their mouths. The strides are getting shorter. Do not give these guys too much respect. They didn't pull a dog sled, did they?
No, John.
Didn't skate the river, did they?
No.
Forget about that fucking circus out there. That's still black ice. This is our pond.
You're goddamn right.
That's right.
Phoebe's right. We got to take it to these guys.
Yeah. Take it to them, guys. 110%, guys.
Let's go.
Let's
do it.
Let's
take it.
Heads up.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's
go.
Let's go. Let's go.
This is our pond.
It is good. Immediately following the weirdest coaching thing of star coach Burt Reynolds after the second period goes, let's just give up, right?
So I was going to ask you, was that a motivational tactic? Was he doing the...
No.
Because it wasn't completely, like, clear.
He didn't smirk afterwards, so I don't think it was a motivational tactic. I know he did say, like, thanks for the assist, but if he did it on purpose, he would have said something like, teed you up on that one. Like, it was not he was not playing four-dimensional chess. This is what people do when something happens in Harry Potter that J.K. Rowling did not intend. And everyone's like, four-dimensional chess. It's like, no, you're just better at reading into something than what's written there. You have actually drawn lines that were not connected. I don't think it was next-level chess. I'm so perplexed by Burt Reynolds being a good coach because I don't see what he does at all, except for, like, tell them how to substitute better. I don't know, man. He pulls the goalie at the right time.
He's Burt Reynolds. What do you? I mean, he just is Burt Reynolds. It's the same thing in Longest Yard.
Better.
He doesn't really do anything, but he's Burt Reynolds, man.
I did write down at one point. I was like, huh. We can't convince Burt Reynolds to be a part of our underdog based sporting event. Where have I seen this before?
Listen, man. Burt Reynolds is there for one thing: to be handsome and to get a paycheck. And he accomplished both of those things, and it was very, very effective. The last scene I want to mention is the third period, just because every sports movie needs to have a scene where part of the game was taking place during the day, and then the last part of the game is taking place at night. That is extremely effective. You get my money every single time you do that.
Yeah, at sunset real quick during the 5-minute halftime or 2/3 time speech, that sun dropped promptly out of the sky.
I mean, hey, it's Alaska in December, man. That's how they're getting realistic with it.
Yep.
So you said that first game is your favorite scene.
Yeah, and I think it's a testament to this movie that I think you only picked 4 scenes when I'm pretty sure for Whiplash we had 87 scenes. I think we just recapped the entirety of the film as the best scene.
Listen, I don't want to go too far out of left field, but this movie, at certain parts of this movie are more fun to watch than certain parts of Whiplash.
Well, Whiplash, like, is inherently not fun, but is great. Like, it's, I don't know, man. It's like when you're playing a video game on expert mode. You're like, this isn't fun, but I have to do this.
This is fair. This is fair. I'm going to go with the speech. The first scene itself is probably, that first game is probably the best scene. It's really well done. It's got great hockey. Hockey is good for, like, ASMR too, like the sounds of the skates, the passing, the narration with the SI article.
Coming in the little pathway thing is super cool.
That's a really, really good scene. The speech is awesome. Like, I was, and that's when I knew that I was in on this movie, because if I had not been in on this team in some way, if I had not been kind of bought in, I wouldn't have really cared. but I don't know if I'm in on this movie because I was in on the like in on the team, or if I was in on the speech just because it was Russell Crowe. But I really like the speech. That one, I don't think you can play it in jumbotrons and arenas. I don't believe that.
Too many expletives.
Too many expletives. But I'm a huge fan. I think it was a really good sports movie speech. Like, how many pump up speeches do you get from best actor winners? There's not many.
It's good, and I think it's a believable speech because I think sometimes in sports movies you'll have, I guess when the coach does it, it makes sense, but if a player has this thing where it sounds like Shakespeare wrote it, it doesn't make sense. Basically, the entire premise of Russell Westbrook's speech, the entire premise of Russell Crowe's speech is just, I don't give a fuck, let's beat these guys. And I'm like, yeah, that's believable from this character. Yeah, I think it's just because it's Crowe, because I could not care less about everyone else on this team, because I don't care about Skank. I don't care about I think the people of the team I liked the most are the people we didn't hear about at all, because I thought maybe they'd be cool, like the Inuit brothers, or at least because they have like last name and then first initial, so I'm assuming they're brothers, or at least they share a last name. I was like, I want to learn more about these guys. Like, I was more intrigued by all the people we didn't see into, because all the characters we learned about are horrible.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, Skank is not a good dude. I like Tree, though.
I did like Tree, but again, we didn't really learn much about Tree outside of the hockey field. Everything on the ice, we only learn about Tree on the ice, and I think that's why he's a good character.
That's a good point. Let's take a quick ad break.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, so best quote for this one. I have a few. Right. As there are in sports comedies, usually there's a couple things that make you laugh. I also like the general, I guess, Alaskan-ness, or you know, somewhat Canadian-ness of everyone. The just the line "God sakes" by many people say "God sakes," and I love that. I find that amusing. I think the most impactful line, besides what Burt Reynolds says in the courtroom, is the conversations after that John has been cut from the team. And he says Donna says, every ex-player turned coach says they all prefer coaching. Why would they say that? And he says, because they can't play. And that shit cut me deep, because when I finished up playing college baseball, I started coaching like kids, like 11 and 12 year olds. And I would go and I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm really enjoying it. But like, it's not nearly as fun. Some people love coaching, but like they did a really good job with Crowe. Like,
yeah,
the writing around Crowe's character and stuff, there's some differences they could have made. They could have frankly given that character a little more attention than he already got, but like just straight up develop that. But the stuff with Crowe was good. So that is my favorite line.
Yeah. The quotes that I had were just, I just said like the speech from Crowe, the post courtroom speech, and then my joke one, I've already talked about Our Dignity and Our Illusions, which is horrible. But the other one I loved, I did not laugh at this movie genuinely once. Like no joke made me laugh, but I did laugh at the line where Hank Azaria, in all sincerity, says, don't you wish you lived in a town that had a museum? And I was like, what the fuck? What kind of like, what standard is that of like, ah, oh, yes, come visit New York City, we have museums. Like, yes, I know people go to museums, but like, it is not the reason of like, oh, I can't live in this town, there's no museum. Like, what a wild thing for this person to say.
That's and like 17th on the list.
Right, and especially to this person, Mary McCormick's character does not care about museums. She talks about like, oh, I, you know, peeked over the snowbank and wondered what's out there. I don't think you're like, oh, bright lights in the big city of museums. Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, like she wants to go see Hamilton. Like she doesn't care about like the museums. That's what she would be wanting to get out of Mystery Alaska to go see.
Right, yeah. I think the best quote, I think the post-courtroom scene from Burt Reynolds is my pick. It was close between that and the speech during the hockey game. I gave the edge to the courtroom thing because I liked, like you talked about earlier, I liked that it made a commentary that isn't very common in sports movies of athletes can get away with stuff. I thought that was nice. It just felt a little out of place because it felt like that wasn't developed. And I honestly thought that could have been more developed than some of the other stuff they decided to do, like Stevie Weeks' sexual problems. So, I liked it. I almost feel like this movie had two different writing staffs, and they told one staff to write the comedy, and they had one staff write all the lines for the good actors, and it didn't mesh very well. A little bit of a nuts and gum here in the script.
We often talk about on this podcast movies that have like good bones, like a house, you know, it's got a good frame. It just didn't come together. Like this is like a house that some of the parts in this house are incredible. Like they look great. And then it's like, oh, we forgot to put a kitchen in here. Like,
yeah,
we just didn't do it. So that's the thing. Like it's like a very toolsy prospect, and you just don't know if it's going to put it together. It might not have, but it like that guy every now and then he'll hit a 500-foot home run, or he'll like rob a ball over the fence. It's like no one else can do that. And like how many sports movies have a cast like this or have this setting? And it's such a unique thing that you don't see too often in these sports movies. Like even there's no other hockey movie like it. They're all focused on, frankly, they're all focused on like organized game, at least most of the main ones. And this had all the potential in the world. And I'm in a lot of the things that hit, but yes, we're getting close to the what didn't work section.
Yeah. I felt like this movie was a pizza with a bunch of toppings on it, and some of the toppings had gone bad. So you take a bite and you're like, ooh, the cheese is good, and that's Russell Crowe. And then you take a bite and you're like, oh, this pepperoni is spoiled. It's like, oh, that was 10 minutes about Skank cheating on Skank having an affair with the mayor's wife or whatever. It's like, oh, now I got a bite of some really nice caramelized onions. That was another Russell Crowe, Mary McCormick scene. And it's just like, as it kept going. And then finally, the crust was great because the last 20 minutes of the movie are just hockey and it was awesome. But yeah, some of the toppings, I think, had gone a bit rancid, but they were still on the pizza.
Yeah, so getting into the most realistic, the least realistic, I enlisted a hockey guy. I had to get some some insight. Yeah. My guy Connell McNeilis, he's a patron. He's also a hockey coach. He's been telling me about this movie forever. So he sent me over just some of the nitty gritty hockey details. He said, "Crow, his skating sucks, but he nails the small town Canadian vibe. Reminds me of so many older men's league guys who just hack the shit out of you with their stick." Which like. I can see because I mean they even say in that article they talk about him being a little slower on his feet and stuff like that. He said Weeks, the character of Weeks, best hockey player by far in the film. Alberta guy who actually grew up playing hockey, and you can tell skating/puck handling is legit. I always say cast athletes, not actors. He said Tinker Connolly, the character Tinker Connolly, background character on team, but very clearly the next best player on the team from a skill perspective. He says a lot of good enough players, though, to make the hockey really good. Actors who played Banks, Tree, Birdie, Winnetka brothers all had good hockey backgrounds, and you can really tell they know what they're doing with their skating, which is everything in a hockey film. He said Miracle perfected it, which Miracle did. Miracle got dudes who could skate. Every single one, like they got ex-college players, stuff like that. And I thought this movie did the same kind of thing, just as hockey is a sport that it is tough to fit. Like, it's tough to put in someone who you can't put in someone who isn't really familiar on skates and really familiar doing that stuff. It's not like you can say, oh, we can make Michael J. Fox shoot a basketball in Teen Wolf, even though he's terrible. Like anyone can do it. Not anyone can do skating and do this stuff. So this is a very hard sport to fake on film without getting actual people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, I could tell Russell Crowe could ice skate, but could not hockey ice skate, because anytime he was playing hockey, they never showed him doing anything. It was just zoom-ins on his face. But then in the scene with Mary McCormick, where all he's doing is skating, they show it. So I think that was his bare minimum of, I can skate, but I cannot do anything with a stick at the same time. Yeah, for what worked, I just said the hockey, because it looked believable, at least to my not super honed hockey eye. It felt like everybody could handle themselves pretty well. And I think the movie definitely edited around it. Like, yes, you see Weeks skate and do a lot of moves. Some of the other guys you don't see as much, but the hockey all looked believable, which was nice. And I'm glad to hear that the hockey guy approved of it, because sometimes I'll watch basketball movies and I think anyone who plays the sport can tell when someone is actually not doing it. And I think that you can kind of see people faking it in any movie, but this felt pretty legit, at least from my perspective.
And I think that's why hockey guys like this movie, and they like movies Miracle and stuff like that. Like that comes through. For me, the most authentic part of this movie is town pride over a team. And now we see the bad part of that in that court scene, but I love, you know, like here in Texas, we have high school football. This is much cooler. This like local legendary Saturday game. Like this shit is so cool to me. And I asked Connell about this too. He said, towns have games and stuff like that, but this is something he isn't really too common, I guess. But I love the town pride over this team. And I love the lore behind this team. But I just, it's so realistic, just a town just getting behind something. And that's a town getting behind their high school football team, or, you know, like my town is a cross country powerhouse, and that's a big source of pride. But that's a general thing that comes through. It comes through bad in one scene, but I love that aspect, and it's a really realistic aspect.
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense for sure.
The least realistic, there's no way the Rangers are going to play during the All-Star break. Just absolutely no way they're going to Mystery Alaska.
No, I wrote the not hockey. But what I really think didn't work is I agree. Anything with the NHL, and it's specifically like all of the NHLPA stuff, I get it was written at a time where it was a little less pro player in terms of the sentiment, but there is no way in that courtroom that the guy representing the NHLPA is that much of a dick in what should be a completely open and shut case. Like, that is such an easy case to win, where you gave us 30 days, you're doing it during our time off, this isn't during the preseason, you've done this during the year, like, easiest case to win ever. And what does he decide to do? Just trash talk everyone and just say stuff that is completely unnecessary. Like, you could walk into that case and win it, and he just is a jerk the whole time for no reason. I can understand the Price World guy being a jerk. I can even understand Price World's lawyers being a jerk, but the NHLPA's dude, in a case that he really wants to win, deciding to just dunk on the town made no sense to me at all.
Yeah, they needed Cousin Vinny is who they needed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That would have been the move. So what worked about this one? I'm gonna needle you on this, because we're gonna come to common ground. You're not gonna hate this one as much as you did coming into it. I mean, we talk about Crow. We talked about Crow. We talked about this movie, the casting job on this movie. Again, like, Jay Roach is coming off Austin Powers. You're not, like, you probably can't cast Crow for this movie even a year and a half later. Like, once The Insider comes out, he's not doing stuff like this. You're fortunate to get Burt Reynolds, who, like, you know, taking all those paychecks, but he's still Burt Reynolds. You get all these guys, like, but the character of Crow, I think, is done. Crow's character is done so well. It's important when you see him shake Stevie Weeks's hand when he takes his job.
Right. Yeah.
That's a big, like, character development stuff. You can tell he's the guy all these people look to. It's probably important that he's the sheriff, that he's got this, you know, reputable job around town, stuff like that. The first line of a movie being a child saying, "Fuck me," I'm all for that. Kids swearing is hilarious.
I see. I'm promptly on kids swearing is lazy writing. Like, oh,
I'm all for
many,
it.
Many jokes in this movie are
Alaskan kids swearing. It's different.
I just felt like a lot of jokes in this movie were person who is not supposed to swear swears. Like, child swears, old lady swears. I was like, didn't like that.
The old lady in the meeting? I've got her down in the Lenny Harris section, but that is the My Fingers Hurt woman from Happy Gilmore.
Wow. Yes. Wow. I think
I pegged her right away.
I will say there's a lot of potential characters for Lenny Harris, and maybe we should just get into that, because what I had for what worked is like side characters like Little Richard works.
That's okay. I have that in all caps. Little Richard, are you kidding me?
I have 8 question marks next to Little Richard in all caps in my notes.
Who do you
what
think
a
like
pleasant surprise?
Who do you think I paid more, Little Richard or Burt Reynolds? Obviously Burt Reynolds' job was more, but like Little Richard is probably the harder to get.
I bet Little Richard got paid more than every other hockey player, no question. Oh, for being in the movie for 5 minutes max. He was phenomenal.
We're not looking any of this up, but I'm thinking salary wise in this movie is probably Crow, Burt Reynolds. I would think that Little Richard got more than Hank Azaria.
Maybe, but Hank Azaria was doing Simpsons, and I would have to look at the timeline to see if Mary McCormick was on The West Wing yet or not. I don't think she was.
I don't think she was.
In early 2000, so they might have gotten her on a great rookie contract. But Yeah, I mean, the Little Richard thing is great. And that's the thing, is like, all the hockey stuff is so fun. Once the game starts, it's so fun. The trick that they do where he sings along, that's really fun. All the sports stuff is great. Give me less scenes about the fucking mayor. I don't care about the mayor or the committee of two other white dudes.
Yeah, you know what else works, like, sports stuff-wise? Sports Illustrated being a huge deal. The fact that article comes out, like, that's a special kind of time capsule to that period of, like, you can feasibly think that everyone in America got that Sports Illustrated, like, you know, like it was back in the day. Like, let's read it. It's not the news story, you know, this news story wouldn't be gone in 18 hours or something like that. Like, we wouldn't see the E60 clip and never think about it again. Like, this would be a thing we have in our house. We're reading it for a week and a half. We're constantly looking at it. I love that little snapshot into, like, hey, the Sports Illustrated is coming out. We're in Sports Illustrated. We're going to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated. How big a deal that was.
Yeah, I thought it was very good.
The last thing that really works that I want to mention, we kind of talked about it, but Alaska, and when I say Alaska, we're going air quotes, because Canada, just impossibly scenic. Like, I want to mention it again, just incredible, like a perfect setting for us. I don't know how many more sports movies you could put in Alaska, but it's just like, or, you know, film in Canada and towns like that. But I am here for everything that is in that setting.
Yeah, it was very pretty. I also have one more thing here that I really enjoyed. It was during the hockey game. The newspaper bit while the other team is coming on. My high school used to do that, and I thought it was very good to see that it came into this movie as well. I think that's a top-tier home field advantage bit.
It's a great, great bit.
And it took me by surprise, even when he's giving out the newspapers. I was like, what are they giving the newspapers out for? And then they did it. I was like, of course.
I kind of want to pile on to just the hockey action and, like, how good it is and how enjoyable the hockey scenes are in this movie.
Oh yeah.
And that first scene you're talking about, like, even if, I really don't think this is hyperbole to say that first hockey scene is one of the better non-big game moments, like big game sports games in sports movie history. Like, because we all have, you know, like the big game at the end, this one is the, you know, is the game against the Rangers, and, like, in every, you know, major league, the big game at the end is against the Yankees. But there's all those little side games, you know, the Rick Vaughn's first game and stuff like that. And all sports movies kind of have those. We have our few, you know, little smidgens of sport, and then we have our big game at the end. It's kind of the formula. That is one of the best, like, best first games, best early games in a movie. It is so beautifully well done. Again, like, this is great bones. Like, that is like an immaculate master bedroom in this house that doesn't have a kitchen.
It was good. It was a good scene for sure.
I've been watching a lot of HGTV, I think. I mean, also the Barry Melrose cameo we talked about, that's obviously great stuff. The concept in general, like, I love, again, great bones. This is a great concept for a movie. Okay, what didn't work?
I mean, the homophobia, the fat phobia, the misogyny, all right off the bat.
I mean, that's stuff that, like, That's like the entire year of 1999. Like, that's the stuff that in 2021 is the automatic wipeout. The stuff, like, the uneven romantic subplots, and uneven is generous. The stuff that just didn't work, that we didn't need to see. We don't need to see about Weeks and the sister. Weeks can just be the meekish young guy. We don't need their sex subplot. We don't need the premature ejaculation. We don't need, you know, her crying to her mom. That we don't need that stuff.
No.
We could do the love triangle. We could do John a little insecure about Charlie coming back into town. We could do, you know, the classic, like, they're trying to figure things out. They've been together since high school. They've been married. They've been in this town a long time. John's transitioning to a new part of his life. That's something we could flesh out. The adultery thing. You can do adultery is a thing that happens in this world. You can do that in a certain way, but not the gross player who's sleeping with everyone.
Right.
And we don't totally hate the mayor, but then they're kind of working out, and then Skank shows up at the house. Like, that's a weird subplot. It's fumbled. It's clumsy.
Skank's speech does nothing. The wife's explanation is, oh, you don't touch me enough. It's like, so you just get to cheat on your husband? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Then they're, like, perfectly fine the next scene. Like, that whole thing was wild. Also, Skank just, like, leaves his necklace at the floor of the bed on the husband's side of the bed. Like, everything about it was ridiculous and completely unnecessary and achieved nothing, and it didn't make me like any of those characters more. It made me dislike them all. Maybe the I felt bad for the mayor, but like not that much. I don't know. It was weird. All the like sex stuff, every sex-related plot was horrible, and I obviously the fatphobia is horrible. I did not like that they called her a walrus, and then she's
I like that she got to beat the shit out of him, though. That was good.
Yes, the fact that she got to beat him up was cool, but also like she was a fine, like looked yeah. great, perfectly shaped. I don't understand, like maybe this is 1999 because they're like, I remember that was the whole thing where like Bridget Jones's Diary, they're like, look how big Renee Zellweger got. It's like, what? It's just,
I mean, the year 1999 gave us American Pie. The year 1999 yeah. did not handle sex on film very well.
Right.
The problem with all these, like you know, you could have done something with our main married couple, but I think that time would have been better served, and we can kind of mold this into how we'd improve it, because again, this is Great Bones. I think this could have been a great, great movie. I think I would have liked to have seen, instead of seeing them weeks blown his load in a condom, I would have rather seen some interactions about the town, how much this means to the town, the players in the town, the players at their jobs, like these players as normal dudes, flesh out those guys a little bit more. Let's give them a little more. Let's give Birdie a little more to work with than just sparring with Burt Reynolds and the whole you didn't like me, you know, that sort of thing. Let's see what this team means around town other than just this meeting. Because we that would, you know, clearing out the romantic stuff, that gives us a lot of space to work with. It gives us more hockey, and it gives us the chance to see what this team means to the town, which is what this movie is really, really about. That's what we care about.
Right. And I think you got to reduce some of these side characters that we learn about, because even when you do flesh some of them out, it's not done in a way where I like them more. The Grits guy from My Cousin Vinny, he's a bad lawyer. And then at one point in the courtroom, he says that he's unintelligent because he's overweight, which is a weird, and everyone laughs, which is very weird. And then also in Russell Crowe's eulogy speech at the dude's funeral, he tries to be sentimental about the guy being big, saying like, oh, he was so overweight because he had too much love in his heart for people and his body couldn't handle it. The writing is bizarre. So I think you just got to cut out all these side characters and just like you said, it's got good bones. There are things we need to learn more about. And I think you can, I guess by trying to flesh out the characters, they want us to care more about like the town and the team, but it should all just be about the hockey. I do not care about the relationship problems of the people. I do not care about like the family dynamics. Like, just do everything about how it relates to the team and this game and what the team means to the town and vice versa. I don't care about these characters as people enough because they're not compelling, and I just want to know more about the reason people are wanting to watch this movie, which is the hockey game. So just make it about that.
Which goes into what didn't work about the hockey plot, and this is the same problem I talked about a couple weeks ago in Little Giants. I'm going to call this the Little Giants problem. We don't get enough of prep to see why they could beat this team. It's the same thing in Little Giants. We don't really see why the Little Giants could beat the Cowboys. There's nothing to suggest that they could beat the Cowboys going into that game, and they do. The Cowboys should have beat them 160-0. This game, we need more than one montage of what Burt Reynolds is doing, which is mainly just cardio, but we need a few strategy discussions, because the main advantage, the announcers talk about, oh, this ice is bigger, it might be an equalizer, but we need this to be played more similar to the pond hockey game. We need some things telling us what is different in this strategy besides just the ice is bigger. We need the team to have this plan going in, because it's like they scored two goals right away, and it's like, how? We need some insight to the Rangers as well. We need to see it. I mean, so the thing with the game of the Miracle on Ice, there was a great documentary about the Soviet team, and those guys didn't give a fuck about that game. They were super pissed at the coach. This was not a big it was not a big deal to them. It's not seen as anything in the Soviet Union for those guys. It's just like, it's just another game. It was huge for us because it meant everything. The game, this game is kind of like that. We needed a little bit of insight. Obviously, the Rangers didn't want to come, but they're such faceless kind of bad guys, and that we needed to see a little more from them. Maybe even one scene, they're at a local, like they get in and they go to the local bar and they're just drinking, and everyone's right, like, they're just drinking, and they're like, yeah, we don't give a fuck, like we're gonna win by 11 goals. We need to see some overconfidence, and we need to see a little more strategy, a little more of what Burt Reynolds is bringing to that team other than that sweet silver beard.
Yeah, I agree that you needed more of the motivations, because right, I felt like when the game was about to start, I was like, no way, we have not seen the team play enough hockey to think that they are in any realm of being able to compete with the Rangers. And then we didn't see enough from the Rangers to see why they didn't perform well. I guess like the only thing we have to be is like, they're really cold, I guess, so they're not going to be able to, like, that's it, like that's why they give up the two goals early on, is they're cold, and now that they're going to the locker room and they're warm, they score more. Yeah, I felt like it was whack.
Okay, so the other stuff that doesn't work, we've talked about the problem with the star player getting off, the anti-player sentiment with the Rangers, and then really the romantic stuff. I mean, I feel like if you smooth this one out, if you say, okay, we're going to subtract all the stuff that just wouldn't fly in 2021, which you, any movie in 1999, you probably gotta, you gotta bust some things out, you gotta bring out the sander a little bit, gotta shave some things off. We get rid of most of the romantic stuff and we pour a little bit more into the hockey, into these guys. I think we're good. Is there anything else that the glaring that we haven't talked about that didn't work?
Doug's toupee, the broadcaster Doug, pretty rough toupee situation. Just let it go, man.
I mean, that also might be the 90s. I think that's the one thing that, not the one thing, but it's better about now, is that I feel like guys are trying to hold on to that top situation a little less these days. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, I've already committed myself. Like, when it starts going, I'm just going to let it go. It's not going to be great because I can't grow a beard. It's going to be a really tough look for me. But I think now we as a male species are a little less desperate to keep it up top.
If I start to recede, I'm going to go full Stanley Tucci and just pray I get anywhere in that man's realm, anywhere in that vicinity.
Tucci is a fucking king. A fucking king.
Tucci's
so
in my top five of
sports movies.
God, Tucci's in my top five of, I don't care what the movie is and what he's cast as, I will watch it. He's
Did
in
you
that
watch
upper
his,
echelon.
His series about like touring Italy?
Oh yeah, you best believe my parents and I have watched a DVR'd episode of that every night I've been home for Thanksgiving, and it is a delight.
I mean, every day I wake up and it's like, is this the day I turn the podcast into just a Stanley Tucci appreciation? Might be
That's what we'll have to do. Our next episode where you have me on, let's find the most sports-ish movie Stanley Tucci is in.
Yeah, or let's just do The Devil Wears Prada. I mean, I'm...
Hey, God, whatever. Good movie. Good
whatever
movie.
Works. Whatever works. Lenny Harris Pinch Hitter Award for Best Supporting Character. This is a banger. I'm saying everyone except Crow is eligible.
Okay.
And Reynolds, because that would be the obvious pick. We've got, Betty Lind is Mirabelle, who is the My Fingers Hurt lady from Happy Gilmore.
Gotcha.
She has one scene on a fucking heater in the town meeting. Mary McCormick is Donna. Maury Chaykin is Bailey, the bad lawyer who... It's great to see him in a courtroom again. He's grits guy. Mike Myers getting super fucking Canadian as the Don Cherry ripoff. Kevin Durand is Tree Lane, probably the most likable guy on the team. Scott Grimes is Bertie Burns. I love Band of Brothers. It's a perfect series. Cole Meany, I'm sure I'm getting that wrong, but he's the mayor. He's in a ton of stuff. But I mean, this is a laundry list of people in this movie. There's so many.
The two that I actually had for my top contention you did not name, or I guess we mentioned earlier, but Little Richard is up there for number one, as is who plays Janice, the person who just cannot handle the weather at all, where she just comes in and says, oh, my nose froze. I loved Janice until she decided to sleep with Skank at the end of the movie. Then I lost all respect for Janice. But I thought Janice was a fun character to have as the snooty, like, oh, I can't handle the elements character, and she looks so familiar. She had to have been in something else, and I was just kicking myself, and I was furious that I wasn't watching this on one of those services that, like, when you pause it, they say this person's also in this.
So that is Beth Littleford, who is we have like the thing, like that guy, she's a that woman. At this point she was on The Daily Show.
Okay.
She's in Crazy Stupid Love. She is the husband, or she's the wife of the guy who... She is the mom of the babysitter who sends Steve Carell nudes in Crazy Stupid Love. She's had a quality career. She did a lot of TV. She's done The Daily Show. She's done an episode of The West Wing, which you love. I love. Uh-huh. She did a stint on Spin City. She's done, work on Family Guy. She's been in a lot of stuff. She's probably, what I say in situations like this is I hope she lives in a nice house.
Yep. So I think for me, it would be between her and Little Richard. Little Richard, I think, wins it for me. He is just so ridiculously unexpected because they say we've got the big person, the big celebrity, and they kind of underplay it. They kind of underplay it too. They say, oh, we'll just get some big celebrity to sing the national anthem. And then they show the mayor outside the bus and it says Little Richard. And I audibly said, no way.
Yeah, I thought this. When they did that, I was like, oh, here comes someone who was only famous in the 90s. Like famous right. at that time. Here comes Jewel. Jewel is still famous, but it's not here comes totally. That. And it's like, oh, that's one of the most iconic performers in rock and roll history. And they got him in Mystery Alaska.
Given this movie, I was expecting Little Richard to not actually be Little Richard, but like a short person named Richard. And it was going to be like a Danny DeVito, like, yeah, I'm Little Richard. Like, I thought it was going to be a bad joke. And when it was actually Little Richard, I was so delighted. And then further, not only is he in the movie, but he basically plays on the team because the mayor just says, hey, can you do this thing where you sing really, really long? And he does it. And then you actually get to see Little Richard do it. And I get why they cut it. I want to watch the director's cut where you see him sing the whole national anthem because I would have listened to the whole, that would have been so funny. Like they only do like 30 seconds of it. Give me the full 5 minute Little Richard national anthem because I thought it was so good. It just made it such a fun appearance, such an unexpected appearance. And I think the choice is clear.
Let's give it to Little Richard.
Let's go.
Let's give it to Little Richard. Okay. The Big Chill. So for a movie that you consider the low bench warmer, a back of the bench warmer, I consider an all-star. This has a great Big Chill. That speech, man. That we're in this good. Game. That anybody fucking tired. This is our pawn. Like, I mean, again, Crow's in a different movie. Crow's he's practicing to be Maximus. this is he's in AAA. He's getting ready to go win that Oscar. I mean, we need more elite actors in bullshit movies. Like that's what I need. I also love right before that when Birdie, his hand is like all messed up and he's just like, tape it, I'm not playing. And Reynolds looks and he goes,
tape it.
And I'm like, oh, Bert's bought in. Like he's a tough coach. And then he goes to Crow and says like, we got to quit or whatever like right. that. So that's kind of interesting, but that's a very good Big Chill moment.
Yeah. I think it would either be the speech or honestly the intro. The intro got me so hyped and the way it's shot, even you could include the intro thing while the credits are rolling where it's just zoom ins on that guy skating through the town and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, the sounds of hockey I think are really nice, and just the skates and the puck and the stick and all of the noises are very cool and, you know, chilling in the literal ice cold sense. But yeah, I thought the intro, it's a shame. That intro sets up what I thought was going to be a really cool movie, and then there's just not as much hockey as I was anticipating there to be, and there should have been more. But yeah, I think it's either the speech or the intro for me, because the thing in the final game, like, I get like the game's important, but like the whole time I'm like, this game doesn't matter. Like, as long as the game is close, it's fine. Like all they had to do is not lose by three or more. So when you have the final thing where he shoots it and it goes off the puck, I was like, eh. And then the slow clap, that was what I also found unbelievable, is like the crowd is just silent for 30 seconds until Burt Reynolds awkwardly slow claps and then everyone joins in.
I mean, once Hoosiers brought the slow clap in, you had to get, again, the 90s, we were just ripping off everything. This movie, you mentioned when we started, this is a movie that your dad had on. Dad said he had it on the background a lot when you were growing up. Mm-hmm. This is a great background movie because there's stuff that you can feasibly skip. You can do stuff, but it's like, okay, Mystery Alaska's coming on. Got to watch the beginning. Got to watch that scene. Got to tune in for a couple parts. We got to watch, want to watch the town hall thing. Want to watch, a few other parts. Big game's on. We're going to watch the big game. It's, it doesn't matter, but it's fun. It's great action. Like, we're going to watch that. Yeah. It's a really good background movie.
I think what makes it not a good background movie for me is, like, you have to be aware of who else is in the house because there's too many sex scenes or scenes where, like, the joke is just that the person is cursing a lot. And obviously, if it's on TV, they'll, like, just cut that stuff out. But if you were going to pop in the DVD or pull it up on a streaming service,
it's not a good throw it on movie. Like, no. you're making the intention, but like if it's on TNT or something, I don't think I've ever seen this on TNT, but it would be a good one. Before more restore, since we kind of already did How to Improve It, I would take a remake of this one. But if you're going to remake it and do a lot of the improvements, the one thing that you have to bring is it has to be, you have to get a cast that looks similar to this. And that's the one thing that in 2021, I don't think you can like drum up a future Oscar winner unless you get insanely lucky. Cause like Russell Crowe had already done LA Confidential in this. Like he had some bona fides, and I don't know if you could pull together a cast like this unless like you land on a bunch of character actors who need work. Like you can put together the good character actors, but to get an old legend and a guy who is entering his prime and not just a complete unknown that you get lucky on, that's going to be tough in a movie like this.
I think the only way you could do it is like we just said with Stanley Tucci. You got to get someone who's never done a sports movie and say, this will be your sports movie. And
you get Stanley Tucci.
You get Tucci to be Burt Reynolds. Like, I would be down for it.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be fucking
great. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Stanley Tucci, sign me up. So, that yeah, I think you remake it. I think you do all the things that we said about cutting out the yikes stuff. I think, honestly, weirdly, the movie is very good about Native American. Like, it's very brief, but the representation they do where they clarify, they don't call them Indians. They call them Native Americans. And then they even further clarify, like, calling them Eskimos is not correct. It's not what we do. They like really play up how shitty that is, that ESPN, whoever, like, what is it, sports broadcast company or whatever, that SBC is doing that. They play up that is bad. They mention the Inuit terminology being the more accurate way to refer to these folks, having a diverse group of people on the team. I think like you can play that angle up more. And then I think, like you said, that's another way for us to care more about the town, is if you like actually get into the Alaska of it all, because we don't actually learn that much about like it being Alaskan, except for like it's cold and we get mad at people when they move. So I feel like if you play in more to the town, you play in more to the region, you play in more to the culture, and then you flesh out the characters more, we don't learn as much about these side characters. The team is just about the team, but we see the team play more hockey. I think that's what you do. Like, you kind of just make this movie more Hoosiers-y, where like Hoosiers is pretty much all basketball, and we still get stuff with like Jimmy and his family situation and all that. You do it like that, where it's like 75% hockey, 25% other stuff, but that other stuff always relates to the hockey. Like, anytime we flesh out Russell Crowe's being upset at being kicked off the team and stuff, that still relates to the team. Or you can still have Mary McCormick's whole thing where it's like, I sacrificed my life for you. Like, you can do that. But if we flesh out Crowe's character more, like, her whole speech there makes sense. And then we don't have Russell Crowe like scribbling out lines in a book to get her back. Like, that Dear Abby thing was whack. Yeah. So I feel like, get out some of the riffraff, focus on what's cool, focus on the town, give us more about the Alaska of it all, remake it, it'll be good.
Yeah. You know who's been taking paychecks lately? Russell Crowe.
Oh, so, no.
So, I mean, he's still doing some good stuff, but like Russell Crowe, he might not say no. If you back up the Brinks truck for him.
Oh,
like,
here's what you do. You remake this movie, and then you do the same thing that they did for Burt Reynolds in Longest Yard, where Russell Crowe is now Burt Reynolds' character. And you just do it exactly like that.
I would be all in. Mike Schubert, this was a great time as always. Always good to chop it up with you. Tell the folks again where they can follow you, where they can find all the stuff you got going on.
Yes, if you want to find me on social media, I'm at Shub17, S-C-H-U-B-E-S-1-7 on Twitter and Instagram. My website is schub.es, where you can check out my podcasts, Potterless, Horse, The Newest Olympian, Modern Muckraker, and Meddling Adults. Kyle has been on some of those. Always a good time. He will probably be making a future appearance on Meddling Adults, which is going to be fun. See if you can get another W in the mix. But yeah, lots of fun
stuff. I lost. Adam,
oh, you lost? Dang.
No, because remember, the last one, I accidentally, like, I talked out kind of half of what I thought it was. I outwardly talked, and then Adam ran with it and got it. And I fucking screwed myself. But everyone, Meddling Adults.
You'll come back for revenge. You'll come back for revenge.
Yeah, that's the plan. Everyone go check out that. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate, leave a review. You folks know the drill. If you want to vote on movies, suggest movies, pick the content of the show, patreon.com/bigscreensports. And we'll catch you next Monday. Thanks for listening.